Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome to the show. Have you ever had an idea that you knew could make you millions but did nothing about it because you didn't know where to start? Eric's nodding his head here for one. I'll raise my hand for two, and I'm sure there's more of you out there listening right now. So if you have this great idea, how can you learn to convert your passion into a thriving business while still raising kids and keeping a roof over your head? Well, grab a pen and paper, because today we have some great business advice for you, from how to establish a patent to making a cold call, bringing your product to market, and how to break into big retail stores. My guest is going to share how she went from a stay-at-home mom, literally sitting at her kitchen table with a great idea, to becoming mommy millionaire, creating a multi-million dollar business while raising two kids and keeping her marriage together. My guest is Kim Levine, a mommy millionaire and founder and president of Green Daisy Inc. She's appeared on The Today Show, Rachel Ray, The Big Idea with Donny Deutsch, NPR, Oprah and Friends Radio Network, and more, and has been featured in way too many publications to mention here. Her best-selling how-to guide is called Mommy Millionaire: How I Turned My Kitchen Table Idea into $1 Million, and How You Can Too. Welcome, Kim Levine. Welcome.
Hi, Vicki. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, and I was telling you before the show, this was such a great book. I've always worked in the service industry, and I could tell you a lot about the service industry. I knew nothing about, you know, if you have this great idea, how do you get a product to market? And the information in this book, I have never seen such good information anywhere. It was really first rate.
Thank you very much. It is a thorough, detailed, step-by-step process of how I did it exactly. And, you know, not only the references and resources, but the inspirational stories and lessons I had to learn along the way as well.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so powerful, because you weave your story through the book. I mean, the book is, or you can weave the information through your story, whichever way you prefer to look at it. But your journey itself, it is truly inspirational. I read that you were sitting in the kitchen with your husband. He was outside feeding deer, correct?
Right. It's just a testimony to the fact that, you know, you don't have to be Bill Gates or Steve Jobs to come up with a $1 million idea. You can become a millionaire with just something as simple as a consumer product. In my case, it was a spa therapy pillow that you heat up in the microwave. And you know, I tell people, everyone has that eureka moment where inventors see an idea and they get passionate about it. And that happened to me the day that my husband was outside feeding deer in the backyard. And he brought this big bag of feed corn into the house and left it next to my sewing machine. And the light bulb literally went off over my head. I was looking for a gift, you know, to give to my kids' teachers for Christmas presents. And I had seen rice in socks, you know, and I'd gone to craft fairs and saw these flaxseed pillows with herbs in them. And I thought, well, you know, rice and flaxseed are grain. Corn is a grain. What would happen if I put corn in a bag and heated it up? Well, I did just that, and I was totally blown away by, you know, just the incredibly moist heat, the long-lasting heat, the superior heat. So I spent the next 3 days just possessed, you know, as my kids watched, sewing at my kitchen table, starting fires in my microwave to the delight of my children as I tested new fabrics. And, you know, 3 days into it, I came up with this great idea, and I called it the Wovet, and gave it away for Christmas presents to my kids' teachers that year. And you could say the rest is history, but if you read my book, you know that's not the truth.
You know, and that's why your story is so inspirational, and that's why the information in this book is so good. You know, I'm not in the business of selling good books, but I'm in the information of giving good information, sharing good information, finding it and sharing it. And the information in here, I mean, you've gone up, you've gone down, you've gone back up again, you've gone back down again. And now I think your company is worth around $10 million. Is that right?
It's amazing, and that's true. It was valued. You know, we went from starting with a simple little consumer product to now a lifestyle brand, and we're branching out into media. We launched a home decor line. We launched a line of designer pajamas. And, you know, it's just, it goes to show you, you know, I don't have a business degree and I have no business background. But that's exactly what anybody can do from their home. I still work from my home using their computer today. And I tell you exactly how to do it in the book. And, you know, I think I'm so glad that you're talking about the ups and downs of my journey, because that was the most important thing about my book. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, my God, your book reads like a novel. You know, I can't believe the things you went through. But, you know, I really wanted to destroy this myth of overnight success.
Right.
Everybody I know who is successful has gone through the same things I do. And I've met so many fantastic people along my journey who have had great ideas, who gave up on their first experience of, you know, crisis or a setback, because they thought, oh, it's supposed to be easy. And, you know, I just wanted to tell them, keep going on, you're about ready to make it. And, you know, that's what I really wanted to open people's eyes to in this book. This is what it really takes. Forget about everybody else selling you overnight success. Here's what you really got to do.
Right. And I think that's really important, because there are so many books out there and even TV shows dedicated, you know, to saying, hey, I made $1 million, I made $1 billion, and all I had was $50 in my pocket to start. And it's very rarely is that really true.
Well, I mean, I leave off all the peripheral. Right. Because, you know, I even say in my book, because success sells, you know, and everybody wants to buy success. And, you know, I just want, I think, you know, the lessons that I learned were very costly, expensive, both personally and financially. And if I can save anybody that heartache, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I learned was invaluable. I've had the opportunity to work with some of the most amazing people in the country, experts in design, experts in private equity, experts in branding, and all of that advice and information is in there too.
Yeah, well, let's share some of your journey with our listeners, because here you are, your husband's feeding corn to the deer. You get this idea to make this spa pillow filled with corn, and you're just literally giving this out as presents to your kids' teachers. And
right.
You say that you started carrying, because it went over so well, you started carrying a little basket full of Wovitz in your car with you and selling them from the back of your trunk, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I had no idea where I was going with this. I was just a stay-at-home mom, you know, just responding to people's love of this product. That all changed one day when my husband came home and told me he no longer had a job. He was laid off in an industry that was in crisis. You know, not only was he laid off, but 8 out of 10 of his peers were laid off.
Right.
So the whole idea of him getting another job that was going to support us in a way that we were used to living was remote. So that's when I decided, boy, you know, I've got this great product. It's been really successful. I'm going to take it to the marketplace. Well, the minute I did that, everybody I know, most particularly my friends and family, called me up to tell me I was crazy, that why would I risk anything, you know, to do this? And I tell people, there's no reward without risk. I know a lot of successful millionaires now. Not one of them got there without taking a risk. A lot of them lost their jobs. A lot of them were forced to make career changes. Some of them just quit. But you have to accept the risk. And the only way to mitigate risk is with information. And I tell people, you have to write a business plan. I wrote my business plan, and the short story is, in 2002, I launched my company. And by the end of 2002, I had sold $250,000 worth of Wovitz
right.
at 4 retail locations in 8 weeks.
Right.
That's
so,
pretty much when people stopped telling me I was crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you know, everybody runs into that. You're crazy, because people think if you walk away from, well, you didn't really have a lot of security with your husband, lost his job, you weren't working. So do you think that gave you the impetus to take the risk, or do you think that you would have taken it anyway?
Fear is a motivator, Vicky. Fear is a motivator. And getting up out of bed every day and wondering, you know, how you're going to make it is another thing. But, you know, I'm very, you know, we were very smart. We, like I said, you have to write a business plan. We knew where we were going at that point. We had savings. I tell people, you know, the most important thing that you need when you start a business is a good credit rating. And in my book, I go into, geez, if you don't have a credit rating, spend the next 2 years cleaning up your credit rating while you write your business plan and do all your market research, and here's how you do it, mm-hmm. step by step. And we had that. And so we were very fortunate that, you know, that's the only way you can see the vision and the roadmap to your goal.
Right.
And I go into my book where you can even download a free business plan. You can go to SCORE Template Gallery, SCORE.org. That's the Service Corps Retired Executives. You can go download a business plan template, write your business plan, make an appointment with a SCORE counselor in your local community. They're everywhere all across the United States, and get free professional help filling out your business plan. Or if you even want better free advice, you can go to the Small Business Development Center. And they're in every state in the United States. They're a function of the Small Business Administration. You can find your local SBDC by going to www.sba.gov/SBDC. And there you'll get real-world business advice from professionals who are, you know, usually at a college level. And, you know, that you won't believe the resources that are available for free.
Right, right. So you get your business plan together. Now, you say that you believe businesses need about $20,000 to start, and that might scare some people off to start with.
Right. You know, I started with $20,000, and believe it or not, like 90% of the entrepreneurs I know, I got it from my credit cards. And, you know, people are probably turning over, you know, stopping the car, you know, turning around in their kitchen going, did she just say, you know, I want to put $20,000 of debt on my credit cards? Well, believe it or not, that is a very good place to start, because a lot of people do have credit available, and you don't have to apply for a loan. But here's the one thing you need to understand about debt when you're starting out from a business. There's two kinds of debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt. Good debt generates revenue. Bad debt consumes revenue. So if you're going to put $20,000 on your credit card to go out and buy a flat-screen TV and, you know, a whole new living room suite, well, that's pretty much bad debt, because it's not going to generate any revenue. However, if you're going to spend $20,000, you know, starting a business that's going to be an investment in your future and provide you with, you know, an opportunity to support your family, you pretty much cannot worry about that debt. I'm giving you official permission to just say that's good debt.
Right. And I know that was hard for you, because you and your husband wanted to be totally debt-free. But, okay, so did you have your patent ready by the time you'd written your business plan?
If, you know, this is probably the most important thing your listeners could ever learn from this conversation today about my patent. You know, I meet so many people across the United States as I travel, and the inventors who have $5,000 to $10,000 to $40,000 into their patents before they even have a product prototyped or ready to take to the marketplace. You know, you can go to the USPTO.gov, that's the United States Patent Trademark Office website, and you can file your own patent, or learn how to file your own patent even online, for $100. It's called the Provisional Patent Application, or the PPA. And it really is just 3 pages long. It's a cover page, a product description, and a drawing. And it gives you patent-pending protection in the marketplace for a year while you do all that, you know, that homework of writing your business plan and finding a manufacturer and finding out if you can make this product at a price anybody's going to pay for it.
Right.
So, you know, yes, I filed a PPA, and, you know, my company's valued at almost, you know, just under $10 million now on intellectual property alone, which is patents, trademarks, and copyrights. Another important thing you can do yourself online at the USPTO website is to file your own trademark. I filed my own trademark for Wovit for $328, and it was accepted by the USPTO. They'll even have a tutorial online on how to do it, and they have a toll-free number where you can call an attorney, an examining attorney in the patent office, to help you. So,
you originally wanted to call your product something else, but that trademark was already taken, right?
Right. You know, if you're starting out with patents and trademarks, people always say, well, I need to come up with a name for my product, and I always tell them, in the world of trademarks, crazy is good. You know, just think of Google or Kleenex. These words mean absolutely nothing, but they're the kind of thing that gets stuck in a consumer's head that they can't get rid of. And, you know, I also tell people, you sell to a consumer's heart, not their head. So, you know, come up with a catchy, creative name for a product. And, you know, don't, like, I could have called my product, natural heating pad. But, you know, I tried to register Love It, you know, because I thought, oh, I'm selling this to my consumer. I'm just thinking, what do I think about this product? I love it. Well, you know, I searched the USPTO and found out that Love It was already registered by toilet paper. Oh. So I thought, you know, while my kids were in my office screaming and I had 5 seconds of lucid thought, I said, well, if I can't love it, I'm going to channel Elmer Fudd here. Maybe I can love it, you know? And I registered Love It, and we had so much fun. It was such a great marketing tool. You know, we had a great slogan, you're going to love it. What's a love it? A consumer could not walk by it in the marketplace without saying, what's a love it?
Right, right. And it's appropriate because, you know, when you put that thing on your shoulder or wherever you're putting it, it does create that lovely warmth, and yeah, you do love it.
Yeah, and you know, all of a sudden people, you know, grown adults are going, will you hand me my love it? And, you know, they're sitting around their couches. And, you know, this is another important thing I want to tell people. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. All you have to do is build a better mousetrap. When I made my Wubbit, people said, well, you're not going to be successful because there's already things like that out there. And, you know, back then I didn't know anything. I just thought, well, I got a gut feeling I'm going to be successful. I'm going to go with it. Now I'm a little shrewder. And, you know, I say, precisely, that's why I'm going to be successful. There's a market that exists for this product. All I needed to do was tweak it. You know, I put designer fabrics on it. I used a superior heat source, and I put on a removable washable pillowcase. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, geez, there's 300 million people in America. Even if I only sell to 1% of them, that's 3 million people, at a retail price of $25, that's a $75 million market.
There you go. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Kim Levine.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Coming up August 25th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, local author, conservation biologist, and award-winning poet, Dr. Thor Hansen. He's traveled the world studying everything from primates to the pollination of rainforest trees. Dr. Thor Hansen's memoir, The Impenetrable Forest, provides insight into the customs of indigenous people, our fascination with gorillas, and the experiences of famed scientist Dian Fossey. Be sure and tune in to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair every Monday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And you can find more show details at conversationslive.net.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's The Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss The Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest today is Kim Levine. She's known as Mommy Millionaire, and she's written a terrific book, which is the ultimate step-by-step guide to building a business while keeping your family your number one job. Her book is called Mommy Millionaire, How I Turned My Kitchen Table Idea into $1 Million, and How You Can Too. And Kim, I first came across your name. I was watching The Big Idea with Donny Deutsch one evening, and I saw you on there. He called you his resident expert on bringing a product to market. So let's look at that. You've got this idea. You've got your patent. You've got your business plan. How do you get the darn thing made? How do you bring it to market?
Yeah, that's the big question a lot of people struggle with. And it's really easy. There's a great website you can go to. It's called the Thomas Register or ThomasNet. And you can go to thomasregister.net or thomas.net. And you can go online and just type in and source everything from manufacturers to suppliers of parts to services. It's amazing. In my case, I went online and I just typed in sewing contractors. I was searching it. And you can search by geographical area. You can search across the country. You can search by industry. And I came up with five good local sewing contractors, industrial commercial sewing contractors that were within 100 miles of where I lived. And I just took my product out there and interviewed them. And, there was quite the process of talking about, pricing and specs and getting samples made. And I do go into that all in detail in my book. But, as far as domestic manufacturing goes, it's that easy.
I know some of those manufacturers actually told you you wouldn't make it, too.
Right. That's great. Because I tell people, for every person who told me I was going to be a millionaire, 100 people told me I was going to fail. And all of those people were at the beginning when, I was the most vulnerable and scared and, didn't know what I was doing. So I tell entrepreneurs, just don't listen to them. It's part of the process. And I'll never forget the day I went to my meet with my manufacturer. And here's another good thing. I want everybody to go to the SCORE Template Gallery and download a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA, because really, I was so afraid, oh my gosh, these people make these products, they know how to do it, I'm going to show them my million-dollar idea, what's going to keep them from stealing this idea from me? Well, that's what you get an NDA for. It is a, official document that says, I had this discussion on this day with this person about manufacturing my product, and they promised not to manufacture a similar product for a period of 3 to 5 years. So go and get your NDA. So I went there. And they signed it, and I put my product on the table and said, here's the next million-dollar idea. And they said, oh, don't get too excited. We see people like you come and go every day. And I could have stopped there, but I just said, okay, well, that's fine. Just make me my product. we'll see about that. And I actually got to the point where I actually had an internal dialogue in my head that said, your constant underestimation of my ability is what drives me on to greater success every day. It was a motivating factor.
Right. And at some point, your husband had taken some of your Wovitz to a local gift shop without telling you to see if they'd sell them on consignment. That was
right. That
was your first little boost, wasn't it?
Right. That was right before, in fact, he lost his job. That's when, it was great to have friends and family and teachers asking me for Wovitz, but taking it into the marketplace and testing it is really the ultimate goal, because everybody says, how do I price my product? How do I display it in the stores? When you have somebody else selling your product, there's no emotions attached to it. You're going to find out pretty quick what people will pay for it. And it's amazing. You can even approach Walmart today. Walmart has local vendor programs where they'll take your product on a test consignment into their stores to see if you can break in.
Oh, interesting. Now, you actually got a contract with a large discount store through a rep. Somebody wanted to rep you, and you turned that down. Why?
Right. It was amazing. After I had this fabulous success of selling my products, direct to retail at these kiosk locations in mall where I made $250,000 in 8 weeks. There's another story, part of that story where things went definitely bad, but then I picked myself up again. And really, right when I thought I was on the verge of giving up, managed to open an account with Saks Incorporated, which owned, 250 stores across the United States, including Saks Fifth Avenue. And, took my products into these fabulous stores. Mm. And at the same time, I was offered to be on QVC and HSN. And um, I it was a very difficult decision for me, and I had a board of directors at the time, but it really came down to this. Saks Incorporated told me, if you go sell your product in a discount retailer, we're throwing you out of the store. And I thought, okay, well, that pretty much says it all. But I go into my book about why you can't do that. There's such a thing as called the product life cycle. And if you can possibly start it up the upper end retail where you don't have a great economy of scale, where you're still perfecting your product, that's the place to start. Don't try to rush into Walmart right away. You know, they're very difficult. They're very tough on pricing. They're very hard to supply. You know, just take your time, manage your brand carefully. Because my brand was managed so carefully and I made such careful decisions along the way, that's what makes it so valuable today. So I tell people, don't be, the first thing people want to know is, how do I get into Walmart and how do I get onto QVC? And I go into my book exactly how to get on QVC. There's a whole chapter on that.
Yeah, and our listeners, you're talking about brand there, and our listeners need to know, you created your own brand. You sat down at your kitchen table and did your own brand. You just drew a very simple little daisy, and that's still your logo today, right?
And that is exactly true. And, I even go into the exercise. Well, how did I come up with that? And I tell people, again, it's about selling to a consumer's heart, not the head. And I go into the elements in my book. What is a brand? Well, a brand is just more than a name. It's the colors that you use in the logo. It's the typeface of the logo. It's the tagline. It's the font. So people, I had a meeting with my intellectual property attorney last week, and this has just blew my mind. He said, when it comes to creating a brand nowadays and all the intellectual property that goes along with it, the first and foremost thing is the domain name, mm-hmm. the internet web address. He said, you have to start there. Don't even bother registering a brand if you can't get the domain name for the web address.
Right.
So that's where I started. I just made a list of words that I liked. Green, happy, flower, smile, daisy, clouds, sky. And I just started putting these words randomly together and searching domain names until I came up with one that worked, which is Green Daisy. And I thought, well, that's fun, because green means, fresh and modern and verdant, and daisy is happy and fun, and wow, what a great brand statement.
Yeah.
And then I just drew the logo. I created it in PowerPoint all by myself. I never paid a designer, and it's the core of our brand right now, and it's been a very big success. And I even go into, what makes a good brand? Target. Keep it simple. If you can visualize it in your brain after you look at it once and close your eyes, that's a successful brand.
Yeah, and it's also much more than your logo and your corporate collateral. It's also the promise you make to the consumer and what you're going to deliver to them. And yours is obviously quality. You share a story in there. One night you got a call at 10 o'clock because somebody's kid couldn't sleep because they couldn't find their Wovet. And you drove it over to them at 10 o'clock at night, but that led to a whole new product for you.
Right. I tell people, when you're in business, you're like, it's like being a shark. You have to keep moving or die. And, you should always listen to your customers, your consumers. They're telling you important things. And when, this woman called me up, I live in a small town, and if people can look up your name in the phone book and call you, they will, And this woman had lost her 3-year-old had lost his Wovet, and he couldn't sleep without it, and it was 10 o'clock. And, hey, I know I had a 3-year-old at that time. I'm like, yeah, get me a Wovet, anything for a night's sleep. So I drove it over there. But then I thought, oh, my God, how many 3-year-olds are there in America? A million at least,
Right.
Why, that's a great opportunity to sell to these kids. So I came up with Sleepyhead Fred, which turned out to be picked by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as a top 5 gift pick. It went into celebrity gift baskets with Ugg boots and iPods. So just a fluke encounter like that just was another light bulb that said, wow, I can extend this product line into this area.
Mm. Just a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you, in 8 weeks, made $225,000 in shopping malls. Tell us how you got this product. Let's say we've got it made now. How do we get a kiosk or a cart in a shopping mall? What are the essential things?
I go into that detail in my book.
You do.
If nothing else, I say that, really, the $350 I spent test marketing my product at the mall was the best money I ever spent in my entire business career. Every mall across America has these kiosks in them, and it happened to be July. It was hot, and July is the dog days of retailing in anywhere across the United States. And I just approached the the mall manager, and I said, listen, you know, as I watched women sell Tupperware off the back of a car, I said, maybe Wovitz would do well there. So I said, can I rent a kiosk for $350 for the weekend and, you know, test market my product? And he said, sure, but I can tell you one thing, you're not going to be successful and you're not going to make money at it. And I'm like, okay, well, I've heard that 100 times before already, so, you know, just give me my 3 days. Well, I ended up selling 20 Wovitz in the hottest days of, you know, possible in the middle of Michigan summer in, you know, less than 2 days. And I started to think, well, wow, how much would I have to sell in a day to make my November and December lease? How much would that break down to in hourly sales? How much would that break down into with employee costs? And essentially, I was forming in my mind the basics of a cash flow or break-even analysis, which is really important to do, you know, if you're going to, this is the second most important thing you should learn. And you can go online, you can find out in my book how to go online and just download this form, and it's just a matter of plugging in numbers, and you can find out. And all of a sudden, I saw the numbers. I went, oh, my God, I could make a lot of money doing this based on my own experience. And boy, did that turn out to be true.
Now, you tried to repeat that later on, coming up to the next, was it the next Christmas season, the following Christmas season?
Right.
And you tried to expand on that, because we want to look at the ups and the downs here. That was very definitely an up for you, but you had a huge down, which led you to, you say, the worst point in your life. But also there was a big wake-up call there for you about the importance of family, et cetera. So
right.
Tell us about
goodness.
That.
Well, you know, after my incredible success in 2002, everybody from my banker to my business counselor were saying, oh, my God, this is such a phenomenal success. I mean, you don't manufacture products. You don't have any full-time employees. You just have a temporary lease. You work 8 weeks out of the year. Let's do this. You know, if four kiosks was good in 2002, well, 12 will be better in 2003. In fact, let us give you the money to do it. So I opened kiosks across America in the best locations, from, you know, New York to San Antonio to Denver to Minneapolis. And it was just the worst retailing season in 20 years. It just turned out to be a debacle. My sales were off 40% across the board, even at the same malls I was at the year before. And that was the same year that FAO Schwarz went bankrupt right at the holidays. Bombay Company closed their doors right at Thanksgiving. Everybody was in dire straits. And I ended up, 2003, $350,000 in debt. Mm. So I was just on the verge of just giving up. And I went to my business counselor and my banker, and I said, what did I do wrong? And they said, you didn't do anything wrong. You had great business experience selling this product the year before. You had reliable data. You had the best locations. This is just business. You can't control every factor all the time. So, you know, what happened, I say now, I refer to it as the worst thing that ever happened to me, turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I tell people in my book, just have faith that these things happen to you and you'll see a reason for it. Because I went down to Atlanta, which is the biggest trade show venue in America, at America's Mart, thinking, oh, my God, my business is over. I'm done. I'm just going to quit. And that's when I ended up opening Saks Incorporated, shipping to 250 stores within 4 months. And it was amazing to me because, all you know, my debt was really secured by inventory that I had in my warehouse. And they ordered almost every last piece to the number that I had in my warehouse, which just showed me, oh my goodness, this is just amazing. And even my CPA laughed and said, you know, gosh, if this hadn't happened with you, you would have never taken your product to big retail, and, you know, that's where the money's at.
Right.
He was right.
Right. Now, I know you made a lot of cold calls along the way, but Saks Fifth Avenue, did somebody actually stop by one of the kiosks? Is that how you connected with them?
No, they came to my trade show.
And the trade show.
That's another thing I talk about a lot in my book. You know, I don't care what you sell, whether it's a service, a product, or a franchise, there exists a trade show for you to take it to the marketplace anywhere. And in my mind, the trade show is the best value for the dollar for you to take your product out there. And I, you know, provided you don't spend a lot of money, and I go into my book on how to get the most out of your trade show, because trade shows can cost about $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it just so happened that I was in Atlanta, and we were having the best show of our life because I cut my prices 20% because I was really needing to get rid of inventory. And, you know, that's where big retailers shop just like small retailers, and they come to these trade shows, and they're looking for hot new products because, really, they are competing to find new ways to keep consumers coming into their stores, too. So they happened to come in, and they loved my product, and, you know, it was just a really exciting time to roll out to those stores across the United States. And I went all across the country touring the stores, introducing my product to consumers at these stores, doing what I call demo events. And I remember people, you know, managers in those stores saying to me, you know, we saw Martha Stewart doing this 10 years ago. And I thought, wow, you know, this is really what it takes. This is what it took to build Martha Stewart's brand, getting out there and meeting with consumers and showing them your product.
Yeah. Now, when you hit that really down spiral and you were in debt for like over 200 grand, you just were really so ready to give up, as you said. You wanted to just, you know, let's go bankrupt. Your husband was obviously drawn along in this with you, and he was having his own little panic attacks there, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the pieces of advice that your business counselor gave to you was to go offshore. And I want to ask you about offshore manufacturing, because so much is made offshore in China and India and Pakistan these days. What was the advantage to you as a small business owner? Well, you weren't so small then, though, were you?
Well, I was. You know, I guess it's all relative nowadays. back then, I'm telling you, things have changed. So I've seen this whole Chinese revolution come and go since 2001. And, you know, back then, when I first started, not a lot of people were manufacturing in China. Now, you know, China's not even the hot market to manufacture in anymore. It's
moved
to places like Cambodia and Vietnam. It's just this, we are in the midst of a global economy that's changing the way we do business every day in radical ways. And, I tell people, don't rush to take your manufacturing offshore because there are a lot of risks associated with it. And I go into this in my book, you know. To get somebody to manufacture your product in China, it really is going to demand a whole container full, and that's like 20 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet. You know, that's a railroad, a semi-truck full of a product. And, you know, you have to pay for it in advance. You have to carry it on your books for 18 months. You have to, you know, make sure that you have a good manufacturing oversight. It's very risky. So, I tell people, if you can find a domestic manufacturer, even if it costs more, that's the place to start, and that's where I started. And then eventually we did take our manufacturing offshore. And so my second bit of advice, if you're going to take your manufacturing offshore to China, use a sourcing rep or a manufacturing rep. Now, some of these big companies in China employ people in the United States who do nothing but look for manufacturing jobs for them here. And it's a great way for you to have that added extra confidence that knowing that somebody in America who speaks your language is helping you. Because believe me, the communication problem between America and China is formidable. It's huge.
Yeah.
You're just not going to do it on your own without a lot of risk.
Right, so, right. And you do go into detail in that in the book, I know, but I just wanted to bring that up. So let's take a break. We are talking with Kim Levine today. She's CEO and president of Green Daisy Inc. And I'm Vicky St. Clair. You're listening to Conversations Live.
Why make the past your sacred cow? Why guess you
do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Hi, I'm Vicky St. Clair and wanted to let you know about Book Talk, a weekly podcast brought to you by Conversations Live. In Book Talk, we'll be reviewing books from the eclectic to the banned to the challenging and, of course, to the easy and fun summer beach read. You can download Book Talk podcasts at 1150kknw.com under the podcast section of the site. If you'd like to be a guest reviewer for Book Talk, call me, Vicky, at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. Or drop me an email at info@conversationslive.net.
Hi, this is Howard Bono, the host of The Money Thing, heard right here on Tuesdays at noon. You don't need to know everything about money, but there are some things you really should know. Each week, my co-host Gary Mance and I will bring you the information that you need. We cut through all the verbiage and marketing hype to provide you with an hour of condensed, easy-to-understand information. We want to improve the quality of your life by taking the financial stress away. So join us for The Money Thing, Tuesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Click the shows page on 1150kknw.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Kim Levine, Mommy Millionaire, How I Turned My Kitchen Table Idea into $1 Million and How You Can Too. And Kim, you were very honest in your book. You talked about your ups and downs. You talked about the times you got conned by scam artists. You actually say in the book, an entrepreneur and inventor are never more vulnerable to scam artists than when they're looking for ways to take their product into channels of distribution. Confronted by the challenge of taking their product into distribution, entrepreneurs and inventors become afraid and frustrated. And there's a ton of people out there waiting to take advantage of you. What would you like our listeners to know about? You had several stories in the book, but...
Right. I think the number one thing that you need to be careful of, because I know a lot of people who are tempted at this point to sign represent deals as with reps, product reps, who promise them the world. They'll promise you that they'll get you on a QVC. They'll promise you that they'll get you into big retailers. And they'll promise you anything you want to hear to get you to sign a contract. And, one of my most famous stories is I met this guy when I was at the trade show in Atlanta at America's Mart, and he saw that I had this fantastic show, that I was writing so many orders, my products were flying off the shelves. He wanted me to pay him a certain amount of money to put my product in his showroom, and he promised me he was going to get me big retailers and $10,000 worth of orders a week. And I looked at him very carefully and happened to glance down and look at his shoes. And, yeah, I'm a woman. I notice people's shoes. And, I think we all have that anecdote in our family history that says you can always tell a person, true character by their shoes.
Right.
And this guy had really bad shoes. They were not only bad, they were dirty, So I thought, I literally stopped my hand from signing the contract when I saw his shoes. And that was just probably a very good decision for me, because I did go on to work with him in a limited capacity. He delivered nothing. But here's another thing I want listeners to be careful of. I've had an opportunity to deal with many product reps. Some of them wanted to get me on QVC. Some of them wanted to take me into major retail. You really have to look at where they break down their costs. Some of these reps will give you profits based on net and not gross. Anybody who wants to pay you profits based on net and not gross is not worth working with, because there's a million ways to hide money from you in saying, well, I have to charge you for my travel costs, and I have to charge you for my gas, and I have to charge you for my office. None of that is part of any legitimate deal. So be careful about that. And I've had so many people try and sell me so many things. And as I started to listen to this, just endless spiel from all kinds of different people, and I looked at the money and said, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to make any money working with these people. They're going to make all the money. I thought, if they're this confident that they can sell a million Wubbits, there must be a way for me to do it too.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I just put, you know, I realize that some of these people are more high maintenance and difficult to work with than taking the product direct to my to marketplace. And in my book, I tell you exactly how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you have to be really careful. Same thing with inventors. There's a lot of people out there who say, you have an idea, pay me some money and I'll prototype it and I'll patent it. I know people who have had the same kind of problems where they're not making any money on their products or they're getting constantly soaked for $2,000 every other week. And, you know, I just think if you can do it yourself, do it yourself, because here's the best advice I can give you about sales. Nobody can sell your product better than you.
Right.
Nobody understands it more. Nobody has more passion for it. So that is what's critical to making a product a success. And no rep typically has that.
Right. Now, what about cold calling? Because many people just, their hair stands on end at the thought of making cold calls. What do you have to say on cold calling?
Oh, my God. I used to be one of those people. You know, I used to sit at my desk working myself up for a half an hour to make a cold call, getting sick to my stomach, you know, sweating bullets. And now I literally have it down to an art and science. I opened Macy's Incorporated with a cold call. I've gone on to open some of my biggest accounts with cold calls. It's really easy. It's a three-step process.
So how do you start?
Introduce yourself, show them the money, ask for the sale. You have to remember, you know, these reps are busy, but it's also their job to find new products. They really want to talk to you. Don't think that they don't want to talk to you, but also respect their time. You know, you want them to, you don't want to call, you know, I tell people, don't ask people, how are you? Because it's not, you know, unless you know them, these people are really busy. Just get to the point. Show them the
right,
money. So,
right.
You know, I'd say, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Kim Levine, president of Green Daisy, manufacturer of this fabulous product, the Wubbit. You know, we sold 25,000 units to 250 Saks stores in 4 months. Can I send you a sample? That's my whole cold call pitch right there. I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Kim Levine. I showed them the money. I told them, look at this fabulous success we've already had at these premier retailers. And I asked for the sale. Can I show you a sample? Whatever it is you want from that call. Do you want a meeting? Do you want a follow-up phone call? Do you want them to look at your product? Know what it is and ask for it. And right there, that is the essence of my cold call, and that's how I've opened major accounts. So, you know, if you respect that, you're going to be successful.
Yeah, and that's very manageable for anybody to do. Don't apologize for having kids, you say, because when you first started out, you had to truck your kids everywhere with you, and you were always apologizing for having them with you.
Right. This is probably the most important message of my book. You know, I think what's remarkable nowadays is that women are the ones who are starting businesses in record numbers. Women are starting businesses at 2 times the rate of men today.
Yeah,
women
amazing.
Own 40% of all businesses in America, and they say in another 15 years, we'll own 55% of all businesses. And in my experience, women are starting businesses as a lifestyle choice. They're trying to find a way to be home with their kids, you know, instead of going to work or, you know, whatever the other choices are today, not having a job or not being able to support their family in some way. So I realized right away, I still work out of my home, you know, that, hey, if I'm paying the bills and I'm assuming all this risk and debt to run this business, if I can't take my kids with me, I ain't going. So
right.
Yeah, that just saved me so much stress and worry right away, you know, to say I'm not going to apologize for the sound of my kids' voice in the background.
No.
Yes, I do work in my home. And if I have to go see my lawyer and I'm paying him $350 an hour, he better have some place for my kids to play in his office because I'm not going to pay a babysitter. He's on my time. So, you know, then I think the most important rule, though, for me at least has been that resolve to burn down your house after 10 years and start over again, especially if you're the mother of young boys, because housework is the first thing that should go. You know, I realized, oh, my God, I got so many things going on here. I got young kids, and I'm trying to run my business, and I'm trying to make new products. I am not going to worry at the end of the day if my house isn't immaculate. I decided right away, the measure of my success as a mother is not about how clean or well-decorated my house is, but how happy my kids are. You know, if I have a choice at the end of the day to do dishes or sit and read with my son, I'm going to pick the latter.
There you go.
I'm not going to stress out about cleaning the house. And,
yeah.
You know, I tell women, embrace the chaos. You can't be perfect. You can't be all things. But, you know, just accept that that's part of the equation and don't stress out about it.
Right. Now, you talked a couple of times about business plans, the importance of having a business plan. And, you know, you certainly go into detail on how to do that. We've already talked about that. But one thing that I was pleased to see in your book was how you kept talking about how you rewrote your business plan. This happened, so I rewrote my business plan. I think you wrote it 3 times in 2 years. And a lot of people get stuck in that, okay, this is my business plan and I've got to follow it no matter what. We have to have that flexibility there, right?
Oh, my God. I've probably rewritten my business plan in 5 years at least a dozen times. Yes. You have to constantly follow the money. You know, I know people, it's as simple as that. Follow the money. Maybe you find some other unexpected aspect of your business that you stumble upon and you start to make more money at it. You have better margins. I know people who are clinging to their old business model because they're afraid, well, if I quit that, I'm a failure. If, you know, that's my business. And I tell them, oh, no, you're not. You know, it's all about the money. Follow the money. If you're making more money at a new opportunity, rewrite your business plan, redirect your resources. Don't feel like you have to explain or make apologies or excuses. And, you know, also, always keep looking for new opportunities to make money. And like I said, a business is always growing and shaping, a successful business is. You know, then again, I don't want people to get too distracted. I know, you know, there's a certain entrepreneurial mindset of people who just get a million ideas in their heads. And I have to be honest, I've seen more businesses fail through, you know, undisciplined, rapid growth than I've seen businesses fail from no growth.
Right. And you were actually told by your counselor a couple of times, work the plan you have.
Right.
So I guess it's a fine dividing line there to knowing when to change your business plan and knowing when you've got to stick with it and work it.
You have to rewrite the plan to know that.
Mm.
So that that mandate, work the plan, is always, you know, it's always true. If you have to rewrite your business plan to know what the new plan is, then you do it. But don't work something without a plan. Always work the plan.
Right. You say becoming a millionaire means learning to value passion and ideas where others only value degrees and job titles.
Right. You know, I just can't believe the successful people I know, including, let's face it, Bill Gates, who dropped out of college. You know, we're taught along the way to get good grades, go to a good school, get a good degree, get a good job. None of those things are really valuable in the world of entrepreneurial success. Really, what's important in the world of entrepreneurial success is passion, ideas, enthusiasm, you know, big picture thinking. None of those things are really valued in the traditional job marketplace. So you have to learn to think out of the box. And, you know, don't feel like I don't have a business degree. I don't have any business experience at all. Don't feel like that's a bad thing. It's all about following your dreams and making them come true and mm-hmm. having passion. And passion will take you to the top.
Well, I think that's a great note to close our show on today. I did want to say, you know, we talked about you when you hit rock bottom. You also had a great wake-up call then that what's really important is family, right?
Right. You know, I want everybody to understand that this is a journey. There's no, you know, money is not the reward. The journey is the reward. You know, one of the things we learned when we were at the very bottom of our, you know, business cycle was money can't buy happiness, but also a lack of money can't take it away.
True,
you know, we
true.
Realized was we looked around at our beautiful family and our healthy children that none of that was important, you know, that money was just something that came and went. You know, you lost it, went out and got more. You know, losing a family member, now that's something that is not easy. So
right. And you're 10 millions later on now, so I know you have your values, right?
Right.
So we are at the end of our show today, Kim. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for sharing such good information. And this book is amazing. I want our listeners to know they can reach Kim at, what's the best place? GreenDaisy.com?
MommyMillionaire.com. Tell them to visit our MommyMillionaire.com website. We have a community of entrepreneurs from all over the world. It's free to join. Unbelievable benefits and membership, support, advice, information, and podcasts. It's just fantastic.
There you go. MommyMillionaire.com. Kim Levine, thank you so much.
Thanks, Vicki. It's been my pleasure talking to you today.
And I want to thank each of you for joining us. Again, my guest, Kim Levine, her book, Mommy Millionaire, How I Turned My Kitchen Table Idea into $1 Million, and how you can too. You can reach me at conversationslive.net or at 800-495-7617. If you missed any information on today's show, it will be on our podcast on our website by midweek. You can check it out again then. Thanks to Eric Ryder for keeping us live today. And we'll be back next Monday at noon. Until then, live well, live strong. Thanks for being with us on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Coming up August 25th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, local author, conservation biologist, and award-winning poet, Dr. Thor Hansen. He's traveled the world studying everything from primates to the pollination of rainforest trees. Dr. Thor Hansen's memoir, The Impenetrable Forest, provides insight into the customs of indigenous people, our fascination with gorillas, and the experiences of famed scientist Dian Fossey. Be sure and tune in to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair every Monday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And you can find more show details at conversationslive.net.
Views expressed on